Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, our guest Shannon Kring-Bouzet will be joining us, and we will be revisiting a 2012 in all of its meanings. It's going to be extremely interesting. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I'm very happy to be here in one piece with you, Steve. I'm really looking forward to your show.
Well, we're happy to have you. We're always happy when you're in one piece, Maureen.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, share me around.
Tell us about your work.
My work is very important to me, and I've been doing professionally 25 years, and I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I utilize tarot as my main tool, and I do feel that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, and I find it fascinating, and I really, I do my work because I must do it. It is what I am.
Wonderful. Well, it's always great to have you with us, Maureen, especially when you're in one piece.
Thank you.
Stephen, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Excited to feast on this intellectual treat that you've got for us tonight.
Yeah, it will be interesting to look back retrospectively at 2012 and really consider its true meaning rather than all of the hype and apocalyptic prophecy that was hopping around.
I'm definitely excited.
Well, Stephen, tell us about your work.
I am a tarot reader and astrologer at PsychicAccess.com, and I specialize on helping people obtain clarity in relationships, career issues, and the like.
Right. Well, it's always good to have you with us, Stephen.
Thank you.
And Carmen, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Hi, Steve. How are you tonight? Thanks for having us. Hey, great show idea.
It's going to be good, Carmen. It really is. Well, Carmen, tell our listeners about your work as well.
Well, I am a psychic empath, primarily motives and decision making and analysis for people needing mediation and negotiation within relationships. So, and I'm also a tarot card reader.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it's great to have you with us, Carmen.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about our wonderful guest, Shannon Kring-Bouzet, before Shannon joins us. Shannon left behind a very successful career as executive producer and co-star of her own Emmy Award-winning reality cooking series. She's authored a number of books and is owner of an acclaimed culinary brand, which includes restaurants and culinary schools and consulting all manner of things. But she decided that she wanted to move forward and go and spend some time in a remote Maya Chorti village on the Honduras-Guatemala border. And she went there just with a suitcase and three goals for inner achievement: to heal her heart, to reconnect with her spirituality, and to discover her higher purpose. And she did just that, as well as writing, directing, and producing her first documentary film, 2012, The Beginning, which is wonderful. I recommend you all look that up. It's extremely interesting. And you can visit also Shannon's website. It's Shannon, with two N's, Kring, K-R-I-N-G, Bouzet, BUSET.com. Well, Shannon, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Shannon. I've been really looking forward to talking with you about your views on 2012 and learning all about your work and all of the insight you must have gathered on your travels and in your research. So Shannon, my first question to you really is, well, I'll make a statement first. There was so much hype about 2012, so much prophecy about the world coming to an end and there being such problems. And obviously, we got past that time. When I watched your documentary, I was really inspired and excited to see what 2012 really meant. So can you explain to our listeners what 2012 really does symbolize for us?
Well, it symbolizes something different for everyone, as I learned in making the film. The inspiration behind the film was because I was living in Honduras, right on the Honduras-Guatemala border, as you mentioned. I'd been living there and learning the Maya ways and a lot of the spiritual teachings. And every time I would fly back to the United States or go to Europe, I would somehow always catch on the television in my hotel room these documentaries about 2012. And it was just the strangest thing. Over and over again when I'd turn on the TV, there would be another one, and it would show Nostradamus or huge tidal waves hitting New York City, or just a lot of fear. I saw one that was showing the Maya, a reenactment of the Maya, making human sacrifice, and all attached to 2012. And I was really upset every time I saw this because I just kept thinking, this isn't right. I don't know what the whole truth is behind 2012, but this just doesn't feel like it did. And eventually, one day, I got so upset seeing the worst of these documentaries that I actually found myself getting quite emotional and verbally saying, why isn't anyone examining the truth, what this is really about? And then just at that moment, it hit me. I can't be upset about no one examining the truth if I'm not willing to do it myself. And so, though I had no experience making documentaries, really not a lot of connections in that realm, I knew that I had to do it. And that was in 2010, and the summer of 2010, so a bit late to the party, very late to be starting a documentary film. But the moment that I opened myself up to exploring what the truth was, every door opened for me, and I just kind of ignored the whole doomsday thing that had been covered enough. And though certainly people I met along the way who were in fear, I listened to them and tried to get at the root of where did that come from, where did they learn that, I really tried to focus on what are the scientists saying, the archaeologists who actually have done all the excavations on the ancient Maya, who are the people that actually have familiarity with, at the time, the only known reference to 2012, which was a monument called Tortuguero Monument 6. There has since been another discovery of the date. But I focused on them and then the Maya themselves. I noticed one thing was missing from every single film that I saw about this, and all the discussions, really, about 2012 was the Maya perspective. Wouldn't it be important to learn what the Maya have to say about this? This horrible date that has been forecasted and attributed to them. And so I went on a quest. I ended up shooting in 6 countries and about a dozen U.S. states and really tried to get to the bottom what it was about. To some, it symbolized an era of enlightenment that would be coming on this date of December 21st, 2012. On others, they thought, the world is going to end or there's going to be some strange occurrence on that date. And then there was the camp saying, this is all a bunch of hogwash, nothing at all is going to happen. And so I interviewed hundreds of people that fell somewhere within that scale.
And Shannon, what did you discover? I know you said that you realized that 2012 meant something different for different mm-hmm. people. What did it mean to the Maya?
Well, it's important to note that there are many different types of Maya. The Maya peoples that are still here, first of all, it's important to note they are still here. Many people don't realize. They think, oh, that was a civilization that died out. And yes, they did, the majority of them, but there are still a few million Maya living in Mexico and Central America. And incidentally, the Maya that are alive and with us today had very differing views on it. All of them have heard of the whole December 21st, 2012 date. But surprisingly, most of them had heard about it due to the U.S. media. they you know, have access to cable television, or they have people that come down and, you know, shared with them the 2012 feature film that came out about that. And so their knowledge of it was largely through us, actually. And I can tell you that I found less than five people in the Maya lands, Maya people, who actually believed that it was a date to be feared. The rest of them thought that, hey, this is probably a positive thing, a shift, a change, a call to wake up. But it's important to know that this date, the Maya long count calendar, was coming to completion, the end of a cycle, at that date of December 21st, 2012. Though there are still Maya calendars that are in existence today and still used, that particular long count calendar hasn't been used regularly for many, many, many years. And so the people that are alive today that have firsthand knowledge of that long count calendar are very, very few and far between. And so it was really fascinating for me to explore what do Maya think in Mexico and certain parts of Mexico versus the ones in Guatemala that I interviewed. How about the ones in Honduras? What do they think? And it really varied by region, which makes sense, right? Because they're talking to one another, and there are, you know, often group consensus beliefs that emerge. But you know, they all had different beliefs about what it would be. And some just said, I have no idea. What I've heard is that the world is going to end, but I don't really think so. Or maybe it will end. Probably the thing that I heard most from the Maya themselves was, whatever happens, it's God's will. And the best we can do is pray, be with our families on that day, work together to come up with some solution for the problems that face humanity today. And when that day rolls around, if it's time to go, then we'll go with honor.
Okay, well, that's really interesting, Shannon, particularly to realize that, you know, they weren't looking at that date of December 21st, 2012 as the end of the world necessarily, but it seemed to be something that was in our media or generated by our media. I want to learn from you a little bit about the sacred Maya texts. Could you share with us what you learned about the sacred Maya texts and what they do say?
Yeah, so I felt the very most important thing to do is examine the ancient texts themselves, which meant, you know, trying to get permissions to actually see these texts. And I was so blessed to be able to not only see them, but spend a lot of private time with the texts. I started in Dresden, Germany, with something called the Dresden Codex, and that is the oldest book known to be in existence from the Americas. And there's debate about exactly how old it is, but approximately 11th century, somewhere in there. And it's actually believed to be a replication of an earlier text. And it had been written by eight different scribes. They can determine eight different styles of writing and pictures. And this text is really something that kept popping up in my early research of, you know, the Dresden Codex says that the world will end on that date. And that comes from an inscription on the last page of this codex that shows something that's called the flood scene, is what people attribute it to. And it shows this caiman, this sky caiman, and he's spouting a lot of water out of his mouth. And so a lot of people took that to mean, okay, this is the end. This is showing that, hey, this is going to happen. But a couple things that are really important to note. One is, there is no mention in the Dresden Codex of the date December 21st, 2012. There's no mention of it, but somehow people linked, okay, that Maya long count calendar ends on this date, and there's this really scary picture in the Dresden Codex. And so somehow those things must be related. And though I'm blowing the entire plot of my film, really, this all comes down to simply a man in the 1800s in Germany, and at the Royal Library, who found the text and looked at it and thought, this must mean the end of the world. And so it was really just him, with the limited information that he had from that part of the world, guessing that that was somehow showing some apocalyptic event. But the people who study the Codex and have spent their entire careers studying it, those people were featured widely in my film. They say they actually think it's detailing a mythological event that occurred way back when. And it's like in many traditions where there's this idea of the flood at the beginning, they actually believe that that was also a Maya belief, that there was this cleansing or purification that took place at the beginning, and that everything emerged from that. So rather than it being the end, it actually very well could have meant to them the beginning. Another text that I saw was Tortuguero Monument 6. I was so happy and honored to be able to see this because it is a stone text. The other one was made out of bark. This one is out of stone. And this particular site had been ground up into gravel. It now makes roads. And somehow someone found this one, wonderful inscription, and they kept it. It somehow didn't make it into the rubble heap. And this is really sad that this happens all over the Maya lands, where sites are being ground up because they can make money off of gravel that they can make out of these old ancient monuments. But this particular monument was, at the time, when I looked at it in 2011, the only known inscription citing the December 21st, 2012 date. And it was really a powerful experience to be there. I was there with John Major Jenkins, a scholar who has focused on 2012 for more than 25 years himself. And it was his first time seeing it, and really we got to spend a lot of time examining it. And then speaking with Barbara McLeod, who is an archaeologist, and Sven Gronmeier, another archaeologist who lives in Germany, really to examine what does that text say? What does this really mean? And the long story short is, it was basically just saying that this god of war was going to come back on this date. He was going to present himself on the date of December 21st, 2012. And then all the rest of it, of course, is open to interpretation. What does that mean, that this god of war is coming back? But in the Maya perspective, even that wouldn't necessarily be looked at as a quote-unquote negative experience, because everything about the Maya belief system is about rebirth, renewal, transformation, and renewal. Those are kind of their keywords, transformation and renewal. And so if there's an ending, that only means that there can be a beginning. It's not just an ending and that's the end. It's like cycles. Their entire calendars, all of the calendars, are cyclical. It's not like us here in the Western world where, Monday's the day we go back to work, and Friday, yay, it's the weekend. To the Maya of today and in the past, the ones who follow the calendars, everything is a cycle. And so you will see dates come back around, and you will see the energies of the days, because all the days have a different energy and a number. And the energy of the day, it could be, for instance, the energy of the dog, which symbolizes loyalty and a lot of other positive things like that. Numbers all hold meaning. And so the number 2 would be the day of duality. And so on and on you can go with these different combinations of days, 260 different combinations or different days that occur in the year, and they all mean something different, but the belief is that it's just going to cycle. On and on and on, there's a great cycle and an order to things. And so to them, it's an end just means, hey, great, it's an end. That means there's an awesome new beginning coming.
So we really have transitioned then into a new age, an age of new possibilities.
Yes. Many people believe that. There are some people that I can remember, I did some broadcasts, live broadcasts, when I was actually in Honduras with most of the cast of the film, and with a group that I brought down to Honduras to the site of Copan, which is just an amazing Maya site. And we spent the day there, and I was doing the broadcast. And, of course, when you do television, you know, you start getting texts and, you know, tweets, and all of this from all around the world. And it was surprising. So many people said, like, it's after December 21st here. I'm so disappointed the world didn't end. I got emails from especially a lot of young people saying, I'm so disappointed that nothing happened and that it came and went. And it was just really clear to me that a lot of people were attached to the drama associated with the date. And maybe we're looking at that date as a potential out rather than looking at it as an opportunity for a new beginning. And even if you don't believe in this whole idea that December 21st, 2012 means anything, and there are a lot of scholars who were skeptical, people who have worked, again, in the Maya lands, have done the excavations, who said to me, you know, I'm not so sure it means anything, but there is such great power in the collective mind. If enough people believe that something's going to happen, meaning in this case, a rebirth, if enough people believe around the world that this is a new beginning and that this can be the dawn of a new era, then it's the dawn of the new era.
That's a really good point, actually. That's a wonderful point. That it can be what we choose collectively, if we do choose together collectively to create something.
Right, exactly. And so now today, I still am working with the Maya. I'm about to make my fourth trip to Honduras this year. And you know, there's still talk. It's not as if this is just over, because to the Maya, it's also not necessarily one specific date where things will happen. Yes, they use markers like the December 21st, 2012 date, but they believe in eras. So it's an era that occurs, a cycle that we're going through right now. They don't believe that just because the day has passed, this whole thing is over. And a lot of the talks that I'm a part of in the Maya lands, and not just in the Maya lands, I do a lot of work with indigenous people all around the world. And I can say that there's really a consensus, and no matter where I am in the world, the talk is all the same. And that is, let's use this energy that was behind the idea that there might be some great shift on this date. Let's keep that momentum going and examine how can we collectively affect this change. And I think those of us that were kind of on the forefront of all the hype and knowing what was, you know, all the anticipation that's out there, we got to see just how powerful it is when a large group of people gather together. And so imagine if we would take that energy of all the fear that went into that date and could transform that and remain connected in focusing our energies on something more positive, but do it without fear. It's just, I cannot imagine what could be accomplished. And I personally don't think it takes that many people to affect major, major change.
Yeah, they say it's 1%, don't they? That if 1% shifts,
yes,
then they really affect an enormous change in the mass mind, the mass consciousness. Well, I'm interested to ask you, Shannon, about your experiences with the Mayan people, you know, what you've learned from the Mayan culture that you've applied to your own life, your own way of living, that might inspire us to make changes in the way we live our lives.
Right. So I first went to the Maya lands. I didn't go until 2001 for the first time. But I actually moved to the Maya lands at the end of 07, early 08. And at that time, I was going through a horrible divorce. I was very, quote-unquote, successful on the outside and feeling incredibly depleted, defeated, lots of other negative things. I was just not in a good place. My marriage of 10 years ended abruptly. I was really feeling devastated. I found myself getting into my ego, trying to cling to keep things afloat, keep up appearances, even though everything was broken and shattered on the inside of my marriage and of my businesses and all of this, trying to maintain, you know, that image of things being okay. And that's also a very American thing, isn't it? That, you know, oh, smile, you know, fake it till you make it, and all of these things that we say. But inside, I felt horrible. and I had really lost touch with myself. I'd lost touch with my spirituality, and I knew I needed to do something different with my life. And so I just thought to myself, what can you do? Where could you go to find this balance? Because there's a lot of noise around you. There's a lot of noise around you at this time. And so for me, the answer was to go to this Copan Honduras, which it was known by the ancient Maya as the heart center of the Americas. If you look at North America as like the head and the intellect, look at South America as the sexual energy, the body, well, Central America would be the heart. And this particular place of Copan is, it was and still is, it's a feminine energy. It's a very, it was a pilgrimage site for the divine feminine, basically. And so I thought, I'll just go there. I have no idea what I'm doing or why I'm going there, but I think I need to go there. And so knowing very little, I just packed up and left and moved. And I'm not suggesting that everybody should do that, first of all. I did it just because I didn't listen to the whisper, and then I didn't listen to the loud voice, and I didn't listen to the screams. It took a huge, something big like that in order to wake me up. So that was my experience. I moved there, and immediately I felt something different. Honduras and the Maya lands in general, the terrain, the way that the buses work and everything else down there, it's very flexible with time. Every single thing urges you to slow down, to just take a moment, take a breather, take things as they come. So I came from this very Western, you know, achieve, 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 accomplish, I have to be doing all the time, to suddenly being surrounded by people who are saying, no, 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 it's about allowing. How are you allowing things to unfold in your life? It's not about making things happen. It's about welcoming and allowing the things that are meant to happen to happen. And so that was a huge adjustment for me, but that's something that I've really embraced in my life since. And if I look at my life today and how I do things, how I deal with individuals in my life, how I regard myself, how I do business, all across the board, this is probably the biggest thing, is just to don't force things. Take it easy, take a breath, and let things come. And just that willingness to allow opens everything up. And I just look back at myself and I think, you wasted a tremendous amount of energy and time on trying to force things that really just weren't to serve the greater good. And that's another big thing I learned from the Maya is, it's about service. It's not about yourself. Mm-hmm. And though I was always like a nice person and wanted to help people, I was still looking at things from, okay, but how does this affect me? How does every emotion that I make, like, how does that affect me and my future or whatever? And I just dropped that pretty much from the moment I got to the Maya lands. That's just not the way it's done there. It's about service and giving of yourself. So that was so important for my own growth. I wish I didn't have to learn it in such a painful way because it was such a painful time in my life. However, I am so grateful because today, every day I ask myself, how can I serve? How can I serve? And for instance, with the film itself, I just made it because I felt like I had to make it. It was the first project of my life where I did it because I wanted to give something back to others with absolutely no expectation. And every day I worked on the film and everything I work on since, I just keep thinking with great reverence and without agenda. And I allow that mantra to guide me with great reverence and without agenda. Because it's about how can you serve those around you, the earth itself, how can you best serve? And that has nothing to do with your own selfish desires or your own ego demands or any of that. So those are a couple of things that I've learned that I think anyone anywhere can think about and hopefully apply some of those teachings in their lives. And they're really not that difficult, but can affect such profound change in your world. Do we still have you, Steve?
Yeah, what happened to the audio? Audio, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I clicked my mute button, but I was I was asking, sorry,
I bet
Shannon.
You said something really profound and beautiful, and now we've missed it.
I really loved it. I wanted you to ask you to repeat the expression with great reverence.
And without agenda. With great reverence and without agenda. And I have no idea where that came from. But I know when it came. And that was one day when I found myself in the midst of this film production realizing I have no idea what the hell I am doing. And I don't know if I can pull this off. And I don't know how this is going to happen. And then I caught myself and thought, wait a second. You're slipping into, you know, your own stuff again. You're slipping into you. Stop it. This isn't about you. This has nothing to do with you. And how can you serve? And then it just came, you know, with great reverence and without agenda. And that guided me every time I had self-doubt. I would use that and just thinking, wait a second, just allow it to come through you. Allow another of those big Maya teachings, allow it to come through you and don't get attached to it. And that just really has served me so, so well.
I know when reading about the law of attraction and alchemy, or mental alchemy, that detachment, releasing, is such a critical part of the process and part of the process that people really struggle with. And it's really a very powerful concept.
Absolutely.
In life and you engage in new projects, how has this all shifted your aspirations, your plans for the future?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really make plans anymore. I was so big on plans. I had, you know, I want to have a national TV series, and it's not good enough just to have a series. It has to win an Emmy. And I want to have my first book sold by the age of 30, and that has to be a bestseller. And I had all of these goals on and on. I had them written down, actually. Like, these are the things I'm going to cross off. And I would go through that list, and I would achieve them, and I'd check them off the list. Done. Okay, good. Here's what didn't happen. What didn't happen is I never once, on those big 13 that I set for myself, for my career, I never once stopped and gave gratitude. It wasn't that I was really, not grateful for the breaks. I was very, you know, like, oh, thank you so much to whoever gave me a break, be it the publisher or a broadcaster or whatever. I would give thanks to that, but I wouldn't absorb it, and I wouldn't give gratitude to whatever it is that guides all things. And I wouldn't take a breather and just take it in and say, wow, this is amazing, this is wonderful. I didn't celebrate. I can remember having launch parties or my show launch party, and I don't even think I was present there. Instead of just looking at, this is so amazing, look at what we all co-created, all of us in this room, and this is so beautiful and so grateful. I just didn't take a moment, because for me, it was about moving on to the next thing. Okay, that's done. I checked that off. Now I need to go on to the next thing. And that's just not how I operate anymore. Now I have things I want to do, but I just think, you know, if those things are meant to happen, they're going to happen. Because anything I've ever had an idea of doing eventually happens. It comes full circle. And that probably comes from, you know, just being good at manifesting in general. I learned at a very, very early age how to make things happen, so to speak, which mm-hmm. was really allowing it to happen. But today it's about waking up and saying, okay, how can I serve? And saying yes. That's a big thing. You know, people talk a lot about, you know, people should learn how to say no. And you know, that, yeah, there's some value to that in some situations. More importantly, I find it's to say yes. Today I got a phone call, someone inviting me to a meeting on a day when I'm already way overbooked and I would have to get on a plane. I'm traveling all but 3 days over the next month, and those are, you know, one of my days at home. And then I caught myself as I was thinking, oh, geez, it's just not a good time. And this is the only date that this person wanted to meet. And then I thought, wait a second, you can't put it out there that you want to connect with amazing people that you can mm-hmm. somehow co-create and serve together. And then when that phone call comes, because it doesn't look like it's convenient to you, it doesn't look like what you envisioned, you can't say no. And I think that's one thing people could do, is just stop and realize, wait a second, you are getting what you need. You're getting what you ask for. It's coming. and you have to welcome it, even if it doesn't look like you thought. Let's say a woman who is envisioning her dream man, and she wants this man to come into her life, and she's doing all the work that she read about in The Secret, and suddenly a guy shows up, and he doesn't look anything like that Prince Charming that she had in her vision. And she doesn't for a second stop and think, wait a second, this guy who really doesn't look like someone I'd normally be attracted to or would ever picture myself with, I'm not even looking at him, I don't even see him, but really he is that I have been opening myself up to. It's like that. Try saying yes and just see what happens.
I think going back to what you said, Shannon, about being present, enjoying the moment, being still, it allows you also to notice what's actually occurring right now rather than rushing towards the perceived future and missing what's under our nose, whether it's enjoying the moment or actually realizing what life is presenting to us and, in fact, what spirit is communicating to us. Because I always say to people, if you slow down, if you observe, you'll find that the animal kingdom, the weather systems, everything is giving you feedback and input. You know, if you look at how the Native American Indians and these ancient civilizations lived, they were very much observant. Where are the stars? Where are the planets positioned? What does that mean? What's occurring in nature, etc.? So I think it allows us, doesn't it, to actually notice what's on offer.
It does, and if we're just racing around with our own agendas and in our own little worlds and speeding through life, it's really easy to miss those messages and forget that you were even looking for the message in the first place. And that is, it's hard, especially for people with personalities like mine. I have a lot of energy, and so as I'm doing this call, I'm not sitting. You can probably hear me pacing and panting because I walk really fast when I do things like this. But prior to going on this call, I only had 2 minutes between my last call and this. And I'd been on the phone all day and feeling really tired, but I thought, okay, you're going to use these 2 minutes and you just have to get still for 2 minutes. If the best you can do is 1 or 2 minutes, then do it, because instantly I felt calm, linked up, connected, rooted. And, I'm not proposing to everybody that, for instance, they should go and live with the Maya or another indigenous culture. They don't have to really go anywhere except within, right? Isn't that like the big thing?
Absolutely.
And it can be fast. You don't even have to start doing yoga. Everybody says to me like, oh, you must do yoga. And I think, yeah, I used to do yoga. I used to do it all the time. I don't lately. I've gotten away from that. And that's okay. I don't judge it in myself like I used to. I used to be like, oh, you should be doing yoga and you'd look so much better and you'd feel better and you'd be more flexible. No, right now for my schedule, that isn't working. And so it's like, it doesn't have to, you know, be the way that it quote unquote should be according to the media or even according to whatever guru it is that you respect or follow or author or whomever it may be. You know, find what works for you, but by all means, in whatever small or big way you can, try to go within, because sadly it took my, going all around the world and studying with so many different people to find out that, I had it all along. I had this knowledge within me all along, but I wasn't accepting it.
Absolutely.
So I hope your listeners are just more receptive than I, and don't need to go through all the silly things I needed to go through in order
well,
to
we
get
all go
to
through
this point.
Things to learn. But Shannon, we're going to take a short commercial break for a minute, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
Wonderful.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, Shannon, before we continue, I wanted to ask you just to tell our listeners where they can order or find the film that you created for 2012.
Wonderful. So the film is called 2012 The Beginning, and you can go to 2012thebeginning.com, and you can stream the video on there. I think it's $6.99 to watch, or you can order a DVD. If you order a DVD, you can get a free ebook with that, which is really a cool ebook that all of the people involved with the film, the Maya healers, the archaeologists, we all wrote it together and tried to give people some practical teachings that they could bring into their own lives, a little bit of background information on the people, some further information about 2012 that wasn't included. You know, because we made the film for European television, it was only 52 minutes long, but there was so much additional wonderful content, which also people can watch that additional content. You can link up on that website to the Vimeo page where we have a bunch of excerpts of these really beautiful interviews with some of the scientists and a bunch of the Maya people that shared. So 2012thebeginning.com.
Well, thank you, Shannon. I want to ask you now, Shannon, about the future. We've looked back at 2012 and we've discussed the Mayan people and these ancient texts. And we said, you know, that we're moving into a new age, that we're constantly moving into a new age. And I loved what you said about the fact that we can create all manner of things if we do so together. If we all decide to change something, we can. So as you look into the future and as you engage in or consider new projects, what do you feel are the priorities for us, for the world, now that we've moved beyond 2012?
Well, I think the biggest priority or the first priority would be to gather with other like-minded individuals. I've had a lot of people that come to film screenings or my talks and express they feel really alone or, wow, this film really touched my heart. They get very emotional over it and because they really felt alone with the belief system that they had or whatever. And so something really powerful is to gather with other people. Find organizations in your community or in a nearby community where you can gather with others who believe that great things are possible and can help inspire you, keep you motivated for change and growth in your own life. And there's a lot of exciting things happening. I just look at, when I started the film even, the differences in the types of organizations that are popping up all around the world. And it's really positive going to some of these where 200, 300, 400 people come together once a week or once a month and share their thoughts and actually make plans about, you know, how can we make this world a better place and how can we affect our own lives, the lives of those around us. And so that's a big one. I think just the biggest teaching that I've probably gotten from not just the Maya, but First Nations people the world over is, really try to get out of your own drama, get out of your own stuff. That's hard to do. I know it's easier said than done, but not getting so wrapped up in the everyday stresses, turmoil. Also, at the same time, if you're not getting wrapped up in the turmoil and the drama, you also can't get absorbed in the good things, the quote-unquote good things, I should say, but the positive feeling things. You can't be too attached to those things either, because what happens when those go away, right? So again, it's this message of allowing, learning to just be okay with things as they are, and at the same time, actively welcome and work toward shifting the things in your life that do not serve. I personally believe we are in an era where there is no time anymore to be wasting on things that don't serve, jobs that don't feel right, relationships that really aren't good for us anymore, mindsets that don't work, bodies that are maybe not fitting for us, we don't have the health that we would want. I think that now is the time that we owe it to ourselves and to the world to shift those things. There's a line in the film that I just love where someone says, that in the Popol Vuh, the ancient Maya book, kind of like their Bible, that it says that when man came here, he would have a veil cast over his eyes so he couldn't see the spirit land anymore, the spirit world. And my belief is that there are enough people today on this planet who catch at least momentary glimpses of what is beyond that veil. And I feel it's our responsibility to take our brothers and sisters who are clouded, whose eyes are really clouded, or sometimes clouded, that they can't see past the pain that they're in, for instance, to take them by the hand and lead them to more positive thoughts, more positive interactions, and to help them catch moments behind the veil that exists between the material, everyday ego world and the spiritual realm, where, you know, things are just pretty cool there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that so often in our lives, as we tread our paths and we feel alone, we forget how much is actually available to us in spirit, the wonderful things that can happen. I had an incredible experience earlier this year, Shannon. There's a wonderful psychic artist called Coral Polge. She passed to spirit quite some time ago. But I saw her demonstrate when I was a child. She would do psychic art. So she would actually draw a portrait of a person she was seeing in spirit. And people would actually come up with a picture and it would be the same person. It was amazing. And I did a meditation and I said, Coral, I tried to bid online for one of your pieces of work that was available at an auction. And I couldn't bid high enough to get hold of it. Could you help me get a copy of one? And within 2 weeks, I'd inherited a huge collection of originals from a medium in Florida who was friends with Coral Polge. And she contacted me through her friend, saying that her spirit guide had told her that she should give me this collection of Coral Polge portraits. Wow. So it's a great example, because it just shows that when we ask spirit for something, when we do explore what's beyond the veil, we see that there's all kinds of support, that there are all kinds of plans and people, resources, influences that can help us as we seek to serve.
Absolutely. Just being open to that. And you don't even really need to believe it. Just try it. Try, quote unquote, putting it out there, whatever it is you're trying to attract. Try saying it in prayer or whatever however you want to do it, and it's so amazing what happens instantly at that moment. And also not being attached, so it's not as if your happiness depends on that thing, because sometimes people can get very obsessive and, you know, if I just have this job or if I just have this item or whatever, that my life will be great, it'll be good, and then there's this attachment to it. I had a woman pretty recently who came to me saying something like many other people have said in my travels, you know, I keep trying this letting go thing and I've really done it and it's worked so well, but I still haven't attracted that husband I'm looking for. And it's like, and I gently pointed out, but see, you're attached to, you're not really just allowing and letting go and surrendering. She talked a lot about surrender. You're not really surrendering if you're doing it specifically with the goal of getting what you want. And I think that's a really important point, to just put it out there, yes, and welcome yourself to the possibility of wonder and magic unfolding in your life. And I guarantee if you're doing it without expectation or attachment to that outcome beyond I'm open to it, I'm welcoming it, you're going to get something so much greater. It's like with your story. Suddenly you have a collection versus one painting, because the spirit world, or whatever you want to call it, intuition, whatever, it is always working with us, and it is ready to shower us with such goodness beyond what we could ever imagine for ourselves if only we allow it.
Yeah, and also I think a bit serving with humility, because I remember once being in participating in a physical mediumship seance, and the transmedium channeled my guide, Arthur, and Arthur said, you know, Steve, that such and such a project that you're working on now, you think that it's yours, but it was conceived here. So reminding me that I'm a vessel, that I'm a servant, that we're all servants. We should be serving God, Spirit, the universe, whichever term we want to use. And then he went on to say, you know, we have many, many plans and projects for the future, but we won't speak of those now because we like to see you focus on and master what you're working with at the current time. But it was such a wonderful reminder that I don't have to try and pedal away because I'm not alone. None of us are. And when we're joyfully serving and absorbing and being present, then Spirit are making plans for us.
That's right. And the humility is so important. And the gratitude. I had a medicine woman, tell me a few months back. She said, hey, I'm feeling like things are pretty slow in your world right now, that you've kind of, things aren't as busy and as wonderful as usual. And I said, yeah, I'm feeling that. And she said, when is the last time you've given thanks to the ancestors? When is the last time you've gone outside and made an offering to Mother Earth? And it's like, all of a sudden, I'm like, duh, of course. I had become disconnected from that source and from being grateful. And so it's just a nice reminder, and hopefully we get a gentle reminder like that and not a huge one like I needed before that had to knock me on my butt because I was in my ego and arrogance and all of those things, that just to listen and honor, those around us and those that we can't see, and to honor that. It's something we've really gotten away from in the Western world. But there are many cultures the world over that's just part of daily life, that you honor the people who came before you, who have given you the opportunity to be here today. And that seems maybe a bit weird to some of us here who have never thought that way in our culture, but to really give thanks to our ancestors, even if we've not met those ancestors, and to give thanks to the planet, to give thanks to the waters, the waters, the earth, the air, that's just something I wish we would pick up more of in our civilization here.
My grandmother's in spirit, and I often, when something great happens, or even if it's just I'm sitting on my deck with my cats and having a cup of coffee, I often stop and say, oh, Nana, thank you. This wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for you. And so I really like what you said about thanking our lineage, our families, our ancestors. And also, I think if you look back in that way, it reminds you of just how interconnected everything is, because we're all related.
That's right, absolutely. And suddenly you're living your life in a way that is serving all of you, because you know that what you put out there or what you do to yourself or to your enemy or whomever that be, you're really doing it to yourself, and you're doing it to all of us. And so that mindfulness, and something else that you mentioned, sitting with your cat, if someone's looking to make some sort of connection, they're not really into the woo-woo spirit stuff, they don't really buy into that, try getting an animal. Get yourself a cat, get yourself a dog, whatever it is, because animals remind us of that kind of primal connection to the world. You have to serve that animal. You have to take them out. You have to take them to the vet. You have to groom them. You have to help them out when they're injured. Also, they get you outside. If you have a dog, for instance, it can be incredibly grounding. And also, you see that animals are highly intuitive. And so watching their cues can help you remember that intuition that you might have become disconnected from in your own life.
Yeah, they provide such fun as well. I think that they love unconditionally. They just care for us unconditionally, and they're such a joy to be around. And I always say to clients as well that I consider my animals my first line of psychic defense, because they catch energy and they transmute it. Cats particularly are wonderful at transmuting energy. Well, Shannon, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us. I think you're an absolutely fascinating lady. And before we end the interview, I want to just ask you if you could tell us what you have planned for the remainder of this year and next year.
Well, I am leading a tour to Honduras. I've been doing retreats since 96, but they've been just spiritual in nature since 2007. And so I'm taking a group for 1 week to Honduras. and we're going to visit with the Maya elders and visit some beautiful sacred sites and eat food that is steeped in symbolism and power ingredients to the Maya. And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm also working on a new television series that is spirit-based, and I'm involved with a project that is capturing wisdom from all different traditions the world over. We've been shooting interviews around the world with, you know, people that you'll recognize, authors, little or unknown spiritual elders, anyone that can help us kind of bridge the wisdom deficits in the collective conversation today. And that's been a really, really fun project that I've been involved with. And so making that accessible free on the internet for everyone, creating an archive of issues, you know, things that can help us deal with any of life's major issues, helpful little tips, pearls of wisdom.
Well, it's wonderful, Shannon. And the last thing I want to ask you is just remind us again of that incredible statement you gave us before that we should all remember and work with.
With great reverence and without agenda.
And with that great alone, reverence and without agenda. That's wonderful. We'll think of you when we remind ourselves of that, Shannon. Thank you once again for being with us, Shannon, and it's been absolutely wonderful. I hope you'll come back and share with us again next year.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Shannon. Good luck and thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, what a fascinating lady. Really inspiring work, and working with reverence and without agenda is just such a wonderful principle for us to remember. I do want to remind you that if you would like to learn more about Shannon, please visit her website. It's shannonkringbouzet.com. That's shannonkringbouzet.com. And before we move to the next part of the show, I'd like to make a few announcements. Do stay tuned for the next part of the show, because you will be able to call in for your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little bit later on in the show, so get your pen and paper ready. And if you're unable to catch our show last week, you'll find the recorded archive link, as well as archives to all of our previous shows, at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click on the archives tab there. And also, our archived shows are available in iTunes, and you can circulate them on Facebook and send them to your friends. Please do feel free to send that information to them and to invite people to join us for the radio show. We have a great time every Thursday, and it's always very interesting. I've learned a lot through these shows, and we just want to connect with as many people as possible and learn, grow spiritually. Now, remember as well to visit psychicbloggers.com. This is our blogging website, and it covers many subjects from reincarnation, psychic development, you name it. If it's spiritual or metaphysical, it's on there. There's a huge amount of wonderful quality material there, all free of charge. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our readers are the best. They're verified, accuracy-tested psychics, each offering their own unique gifts. You can also review their individual profiles and learn about them. Choose the person that you feel can help you. But they are all very authentic and gifted psychics, so do check them out at psychicaccess.com. I want to say thank you to Doug, as always. He does all of the work for us behind the scenes, making sure that everything's running smoothly. And he also enforces the very high standards that we have at psychicaccess.com. All of the co-hosts on the radio show here, psychicaccesstalkradio.com, are available at psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from one of us, it would be our honor to connect with you and to see how we can serve you in navigating your path in the world as well. So remember to come and see us at psychicaccess.com. If you have your own website, remember that you can earn 50 cents a minute on traffic transferred or referred through to Psychic Access. And if you would like more information about that great offer, check out psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, if you like our show, invite your friends and join us each week in the chat room for the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so help us to spread the word. Now, I'm going to give you the number for the readings. so that you can call in a little bit later on. It's 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. So if you call in a little later, you'll be in the queue. You'll be able to listen to the show as it continues, and you'll get through to us in order, and we'll be able to give you a 5-minute reading. Well, Maureen, let me ask you first. I know you were very interested in 2012, Maureen. We had lots of discussion about it. What did you think about our interview, and what are your views as you look back at 2012?
I loved your interview with her. She's fantastic. And she touched on a lot of different things, which I really appreciated. And actually, I have not heard of her, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing that her new project, as I recall, she said, is coming up where people could watch. Is that correct? Did I get that correct? My understanding?
Yes, she said that they are working with different people, elders and spiritual leaders. And that all of the information will be available for free.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, where you could, you know, and she's going back to, you know, what's fascinating to me, and I do, you know, I utilize my daughter for this, because I do feel, first of all, the 2012, because we did a lot of shows on it prior to, remember, it coming to that 2012, and the way I always saw it was the Mayans weren't going to let us off that easy, and do us, and let us go off the face of the earth. We have some things to, you know, sort out and get back to, meaning collectively get back to ourselves. With everybody, we're all connected. But I do honestly feel my daughter, I always use a good example, because it's that generation is going to make a big difference if they can connect with what we're trying to talk, what we're saying. And it all started, I know the shift started way back, probably before the 60s, but the 60s, it's not like we just got into the transformation here right before the 2012. And she brought that up too. It's, you know, it was a long time coming. But I do feel like with my daughter, which where she's heading, is a good example of what she's trying to do is bring, she's going to be going to Thailand and for 6 months, maybe longer. But she's a neuroscience major, but she is bringing in the traditions of mindfulness, stems from the Eastern traditions of Buddhism. That's why she wants to go to Thailand and live there. And she feels like now is the time where Eastern traditions are linking with modern science, because she is on, you know, her neuroscientific findings, but on the effects of a mindful continue with meditation. So she, I feel, is almost like part of the, what I feel the 2012 is the new beginning opening. Do you follow me? The opening of the younger.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? So it's as though really we're just laying the foundations, aren't we? We're trying to open people's minds and awareness of spirit. But these young guys are going to really do some wonderful work.
Well, yeah. And so she's 22. The thing is, she's going to be going out to get her master's PhD. But the bottom line is she is the academic mind, but is bringing, and this is what I feel it was all about, bringing it all together. The Mayans had the Mayans led us to a place where opening up for new, just a new cycle of new beginnings. But it, like I said, I feel it started around the 60s. We were shifted into a lot of things. And even, you know, the Grateful Dead brought it up. Jerry Garcia in an interview, well, I won't go into that, but he brought up what was coming up. He talked about 2000. That was in the 60s, you know. So the thing is, like I said, the younger people, reaching out to them as well, even if they're, like she said, even if you're not all woo-woo, I loved how she said that. I love that word. You know, you don't have to be all the woo-woo. but with my daughter, she's a perfect example. That generation is going to be causing a lot of people to bring, like, you know, those two together, even though it's neuroscience. And I think that that's the biggest thing, or the biggest objective we have for the generation that, you know, in her 20s, it's going to be fantastic. The more and more, we'll all collectively more so be able to come or realize how much we are connected. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
It's very exciting.
I love what Shannon said about the fact that it's always a new age, and that if we actually pull together we can make amazing things happen. I get upset about what's occurring in Syria and all of the struggles we still have going on in this world. And I just think, gosh, if we could all just stop for a moment and agree to do something much more worthwhile, we could create the most wonderful world ever. It's just, it's unbelievable what we can create.
You know, Steve, we're going that direction, though. I do feel we are heading, it may not be that we're right there, but I do feel, like I said, with the generation of my daughter, the younger people, the people that are already, you know, even older, like my age, I do feel that that is something that the whole thing about 2012, the disaster, it was like everything was coming to a situation where we were shifting off. And I do feel, I'm not saying it's going to happen next year or the year after that, but I feel that we're thriving towards that area. I do. And maybe it sounds strange, but I do feel that that's where we're heading. I really do.
Sounds like a good place to head.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Maureen. And Stephen, what are your thoughts?
Well, one of the many fine points and topics that jumped out at me from the interview was the notion of being receptive, you see. And right away I thought of the second major arcanum from the tarot, the priestess, the high priestess, and her receptivity. And it really pays to meditate on that notion, because it's one of the principles, it's one of the four principles of magic, one of the four principles of manifesting your desires in the real world, this idea of being receptive. So it naturally follows, how does one do it? How does one go about it? And the idea is to embrace the magnetism of the feminine. And it really is quite powerful. It was a fascinating interview.
It was really good. I love the way you've correlated the lesson of receptivity with the card of the High Priestess, Stephen. So I want to ask you, we're all interested in tarot, I think, and I'm sure all of our listeners are as well. So tell us the lessons of two other cards.
Well, the High Priestess's lesson is mainly passivity, not being aggressive, keeping yourself to yourself, as the modern parlance goes. What this does is it allows you to conduct research into the target area. You, for example, you want to increase your wealth. Instead of groaning about your finances to your friend, you know, you keep your complaints to yourself and use that excess energy to really do a personal inventory on your financial behaviors. Do you see? That's part of receptivity. And once you start doing that, then it's essential to attracting the sort of energy that's going to actually result in increased finances for you. So it's very important, especially when coupled with other metaphysical activities, such as visualization, you know, employing some of the techniques that they taught you about in that book, The Secret, that was very popular. So
tell us about two other cards, Stephen. If you choose two other cards in the major arcana, or major arcana, I should say, and educate us about those two cards.
Oh, you're saying just to pull two cards at random?
Yeah, just teach us a little about two cards that you choose.
All right, so let's see. Let's get something from the middle of the deck. And I have here, this is a very good card to do, because it's in my deck, the Brotherhood of Light Egyptian deck, it's the Youth card, which is a court card. In the Rider-Waite deck, this would be the Page, and in the Thoth deck, this would be the Princess. So, you know, being a court card, it's always tricky. This one is of the fire element, so right away, I know that this is going to be a juvenile energy that's masculine, that's active and proactive, that wants to do things to people, do you see? So, right off the bat, just from a very few blendings of, you know, elemental ideas, you know, it's fire, you know, and boom, you can go pretty far with it. Second card, let's see here. Hopefully I'll get a major arcanum card. Actually, I didn't. I got the Ten of Coins, which is the Ten of the Air element. Ten always points towards change. It anchors back down to the Wheel of Fortune, which is always turning around and around and around, luck going up and down. So the tens are often associated with change. In other decks, they're associated with the completion of a matter. The energy has trickled down from the mind of God down through your mind and out into the material world at the 10th Sephirah, Malkut. So that's what we have there. That's one approach
Excellent.
To take with the tarot.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that, Stephen. That's really interesting. I'll probably ask you again in my next show to, or in my, the next show I host on my show, but to ask you to do that, I think it's really useful for all of us and for our listeners, so thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Carmen, what are your thoughts about the subject of the show this evening?
Oh, I was very skeptical looking at, because one of my interests is analyzing media and popular culture and branding and marketing, and watching how the world latched onto that and marketed a lot of the aspects of the doomsday, which I think was very purgative, as in cathartic for some people, to maybe realize that they had made it and they had not been smitten or smited, I guess. Yet I see it still pervasive throughout our culture, very clearly still in some of the fear-mongering and economic fear-mongering that I see out there, where one must be cautious not to bring on again all kinds of mini apocalypses in terms of ongoing dramas. You see, I study, people as in their entirety, as man and womankind, and I find it very interesting to see how, if that is the case, we don't feel deserving of hurting ourselves. I also, and so I think we will prevail. I absolutely think so. I'm somewhat prophetic too, and from my dreams, I felt that we were absolutely going to prevail. Though I do see it somewhat cyclical and self-prophetic. On the other hand, I do feel a lot of grief for any of the cultural indigenous people that may have lost a certain amount of their sacred aspects of their religion that may have been marketed or have been taken out of proportion to frighten people. Because surely, I remember hearing or reading about some of the meetings the people were having in South America at the time that were very frustrated. And people from Europe were coming together and they were also trying to allay our fears. But, it was actually economically quite productive for certain countries. So it was just fascinating. I see that there's another one coming in 1,000 years, I believe. And, for people that feel guilty, the world is always ending. That's what I think.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Say that again. For people that always feel guilty,
for
the world
that feel,
is always ending.
Yeah, for people that feel guilty, the world is always ending. And if we can get ourselves out of that space of feeling bad, perhaps we won't self-annihilate. And I think it is very valuable that we respect each other, to give each other the chance to endeavor or to investigate just our own brilliance, which I see in so many people. I mean, in my colleagues and my peers. I'm astounded just the leaps and bounds we've taken, and I believe that we're worth it. I believe that we're going to prevail, and maybe this is just a fable. Maybe it is a very well-organized fable to keep us in line, and perhaps it comes so close to working, and it has. We keep learning from our own disasters. I don't know.
Well, that ties back to what Shannon was saying about her relationship ending and her world changing so dramatically. That sudden shift described by the 10, described by that card, the Wheel of Fortune or Uranus, that Stephen was so eloquently describing for us, that, a disaster can occur, a shift can occur, but it's an opportunity to create and to learn, to evolve beyond those circumstances so that we don't have to create that again. So
well,
it seems
that
applies to the world.
You know what I think? I think actually man has just some good news out there from some of the research sampling I've been doing. I believe that we have an autocorrect function. almost like a programmable part of ourselves that will not allow us to do something so detrimental to us, ourselves. In other words, we will only let ourselves fall so far. In that case, that being said, I just find that it's scary to have to go through the loop-de-loop to get there. But it seems that man seems to constantly perfect himself, even out of these depths of despair.
And slowing down, as Shannon describes, and just observing, being still and reflecting rather than rushing, seems to really be a great help in that process.
Yeah, there's two ways of thinking, because there's we are being inspired right now. So there's another side of our society that even though we should be slowing down, we're actually going through a type of renaissance. And I believe that everyone's just networking and thinking and creating. And it's such an exciting time that that might be something that would be frustrating to try and achieve. And I have found that maybe right now I am too enthused and too excited by some of the things that are going on to do so. Though I know that even if one cannot, it is all within good time or a good spirit, and that one will slow down when one needs to. One will be slowed down when one needs to be. And I feel like one shouldn't have to engineer it, because the universe or whatever effects will conspire, like an intelligent universe, will slow it down for us. Man doesn't have to do so.
Well, I'm interested. I'm going to ask each of us now, or each of you guys, to share your greatest lesson. So in other words, I always love at the beginning of the show when Maureen describes the tarot as a what's the term you use, a record of human experience.
Tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I really
so Maureen, can then you be the first person to answer the question, what's the most important lesson that you've embraced and moved beyond in this lifetime so far? And which card does it correlate to?
Okay, well, I know certain people like Joe and other people have heard this before. It is the Tower. The Tower, definitely. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. However, the Tower has a lot to do with, you know, we're thinking everything's fine and everything, you know, we have our walls just perfectly in order, and then we're blown off for whatever reason, something happens. It could be a catastrophe, a loss of a family, anything. And then we can decide, and some of us do not do so, to embrace it and rebuild what really works for us, not what we were conditioned with. And rebuild is definitely workable. Now, I don't like to use the word beliefs, but it does have to do with your belief system, your values, your morals, everything. And I feel by doing that, you know, it's the number 16 in tarot, which goes to the number 7, which comes right back into the Chariot, which has a lot to do mm-hmm. with having your life in the direction and you know where you're heading. And so and a lot of people don't do that. You know, they fall off, you know, their tower, the thing they thought was also solid, the foundation, and they go, I'll use an silly example, but just an example. They go off and maybe some marriage, they go off and marry someone again, a different person immediately or something, instead of being in the torment. The tower can bring such, and it's a slow change, and it can be very uncomfortable because some people won't fit into your world anymore, or your life anymore. You kind of, and so it can be a, you know, grieving process, but the mystics used to say it would be impossible for anybody to ever deal with the tower issue, because you'd have to be a very wise, enlightened individual. But the mystics also thought, well, if any normal individual would embrace it, you would be so enlightened at the end. But like I said, it is a very slow change. And I do know that I've gone to the tower more than one time, and it's very honest and it's very tormenting, but it's the best thing ever happened to me.
Well, sounds good, wonderful, Maureen. It's a great way of putting it. Things do fall away in life at times. Yeah, they do, yeah. But it can be wonderful. It can be the beginning of a completely new way of being.
Yeah, and you have to be courageous, and if you have to have, and it's okay.
Wonderful. Well, we've got a caller for you, Carmen. Before you take it, Carmen, I just do want to read out the number for everybody, because I should have read it out again. If you want to call in for a live reading with us, it's 724-444-4851. And always remember, if you can't get through, or if we can't cover everything that you need in 5 minutes, you can find each of us and others at psychicaccess.com. So, Carmen, go ahead. You've got a caller. I believe your caller is from Georgia.
Hi.
California, sorry.
Georgia, California, same thing. Hello. Hi, California. I'm kidding.
Hi, this is Ivan from California.
Hi, nice to hear from you. So, Ivan, what can I do for you tonight?
I am calling because I, like a lot of people, have been having trouble finding work in the past year. And just wanted to know what you saw as far as me getting employment. And also, this week, there was a job that I saw that I applied to that I really, really want, if I think I want it. So I wanted to see if you saw me getting it.
What kind of industry are you in? That's the only that would help me identify this quickly for you. Pardon
me? Gotcha. Yeah, I work in the music industry.
Okay.
Recording. Yeah.
Okay. So... one of the things about this work, let's see here, it does indicate here in your reading, just in the first part of your, indicating the present has been for some time quite, you know, the pace has been somewhat slower. And it says here, you're probably going to be falling in line better with working with responsibility-oriented industries. Meaning to some extent that some of your talents in recording, I'm not sure what you do, need to be utilized in different industries. So say you're going from, you'd have to think about going back into radio, back into web, and then back into music, because it says here, almost like you're creative, and it says here you're going to be assigned responsibility-oriented work, which means actually you have some technical knowledge. So let's see here. I believe that... this week, the job interview has not been completed yet. They're interviewing other people. They're trying to get some more details on you, but they still have some more scheduled for next week. So I'm going to look here at your commitments. Unreliable until the beginning of next summer. Now, so in other words, you're going to be doing sort of freelance gigs and that kind of thing. Are you just looking? I mean, I know the music industry, that's a matter of cycles right now. Are you able to look for other work? Are you looking for other work to supplement this? Or
I'm mainly focusing on that. That's my background. I'm coming out of marketing and licensing, but I'm definitely open to other things.
No, I get you. I think you need to stay in that. But what it's saying to me here is that you're probably going to be more on a consultant basis and not maybe taking on as many full-time projects, which is a way of saying it said gearing up towards next summer. And then I'm just looking at why. And it says here, you know, they take it that it's just described some of your activities, which is to teach people, to give them, assign them responsibilities as well. And that your technical abilities will be utilized. I don't see a lot of money right now. Must say my outcome for you isn't gloomy, but I think that, you know, you're deserving. And I also know that this is probably not going to pick up for another few months. And if you can, you may just want to, it says, continue to contract also offshore or off outside of the States for now, if you want to supplement your income. So...
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, you just please don't take my timing for say. It does say here some delay. And regarding that other job, the one that you wanted to look at for this week, they might get you in for a partial contract. Again, so I think that's a yes, but partial. And it's possibly performance-based. So I would say just be careful of the grab. I'm sure that you're a good earner, but people are going to try and undersell at this point, at any point. And undervalue you, and that is my concern about this job. You get it, but what don't you get?
Got it.
Okay, good luck, hey?
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Great reading. Thank you, Carmen.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was lovely. Really, really well put.
It's close to my heart because I used to write in the music industry. And I watched
it. Oh, really? Did you?
Unfortunately, yeah. And I used to help promotions and marketing. So it's a bit sad for me to see people asking, like looking for work.
Yeah.
Is my heart.
A lot of people are. No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, let me see if we have another caller. Let's have a look. Who's calling? Let me see. Oh, Stephen, you have a call here from New Jersey. So you go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello. Who am I speaking with in New Jersey?
Hi, Stephen. My name is Simone, and how are you?
I'm fine, Simone. Thank you. I hope you are as well.
Yes, I am so far. My question is I've been dating my boyfriend for 5 years, and his name is Jamel. And we've been talking about marriage, commitment, and moving together. However, we're both having financial trouble. But it's been 5 years, and we have a child. And I was just wondering if I will eventually either get married soon or be engaged to this man.
Okay. Will she marry him? All right. 1 second, and we'll see where this is going, okay? This is going to the altar. You will marry this man. There's a lot of enthusiasm about the idea of having a domestic situation with you, you see. So this is the prospects for your family being formalized by marriage are pretty good. I definitely see that you two will stay together and that your relationship will flourish and become more concrete. That's for sure. And you will marry him. It might take some time, however. You see, it might take some time to get everything formalized. But you can be sure to marry him. That's going to happen.
Both of us are trying to find a job, and I've been in financial services industry, and he's in construction industry. So it was like, you know, everything was going good, but when we both lost our jobs at the same time, everything crumbled.
Well, let me just say this. I feel that, and I see actually that Jamel's going to be the one to land the job first.
Okay.
And then you guys will begin to accumulate things. You'll begin to set aside a savings. And the possibility of formalizing the marriage goes through and things become more concrete. So this is going to happen fairly soon. Okay, I'm not talking years here. I'm talking weeks to months that he'll get a job. And once that happens, then you'll be firmly on the path to marriage. But you're going to get married regardless, and he will get a job, okay?
Okay, Stephen, thank you so much for answering my questions. I really appreciate you tonight.
Well, Simone, it's my pleasure to help you tonight. I hope you'll come visit us at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Steve, are you there? Well, I think I have a call from Pennsylvania 5 minutes. right now. Hello, Pennsylvania. I think you're on mute, Steve. Sorry. Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Mary. Hi, my name's Maury. May I have your name, please?
Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, Maury. I just have a question. I had a connection with an Irishman over 30 years ago, and he went his way back to Ireland, and I stayed here. And recently I've been thinking about him a lot, and I just wonder if we might connect again this lifetime.
Okay. That's a very straight. Thank you for the very direct question. Fantastic. And, you know, I'm sorry. There's some background. Okay, there it goes. It's not there anymore. You know, this is you've been thinking about him recently, and I do feel that there's a good reason for that. How many years ago did you say that you two?
Over 30 years ago, yeah.
30. Oh, that's really interesting. I do see a completion coming back full circle surrounding this, your question as well as the whole energy around this. At the time when this didn't go on, it looked like either one of you were not decided not to search for a deeper meaning out of fear, I'm sure. But it does. I get a really good feeling about this, and I see that he. What's his name?
Larry.
Larry. Okay, Larry. You know, I am seeing Orange. That he's really Larry. In more of the spiritual loneliness type of mode. Like a lot of times when you go inward, and you know, I really feel. I'm not saying that you'd feel comfortable with this, but I definitely feel that you should make contact with him if you haven't had already. Like touch base with him.
I have no way of even.
You don't. Trying to
with him. He's in Ireland. I don't know. I guess he's still in Ireland.
Well, yeah, yes, you know, but it's fascinating to me because I do feel that there's. This may sound a little bit silly. Well, not silly, it doesn't to me, but I do feel that there. You know, when you're thinking about somebody, honestly, you had a very strong bond. I see that he as well is connected in that kind of communication. Maybe not through ways of regular normal, but connection with you psychically speaking. But so I do feel that, you know, I don't know. I would suggest, well, I'm encouraging, I'm not telling you what to do, but I would encourage you to see if you could, on your end, try to find, you know, sometimes you can Google people, find them or see where they might end up. I do see.
And yeah, you can't get much. No, I don't know. I gave my phone number to a friend of his here and, you know, I said if he came back here or anything, you know, to have him call me. But that was a few years ago.
Okay. You know, I want to ask you, because I do see a look of him now, if this is him. I do see he looks like, his personality seems like he could be very assertive type of individual 30 years ago when reflecting back.
Yeah, that should tell you.
Is that him? Is that, it's like in a way, it's almost like the militant policeman, and I'm not saying that's what he did or whatever, but he definitely had, you know, he had very assertive. So a little bit kind of harsh. However, I do feel that things have changed differently in the way his vibrational self is now. There's a very deepness about him. I do see him connecting with you, and I don't, you know, I could be wrong, but I do see him connecting with you, and it does appear like the January, the colder month.
Yeah, that's where you're last time I saw him was in the colder month.
It was
30 years ago.
And you know, it does appear like he would be a, you know, it's like this has not passed you by, because I do feel, even though it's been 30 years, I see a lifelong partnership definitely between you two. I also see there's commotion around his work. Work has been kind of, he may have a company or something, but if this person,
well, he's a business, so I know he has something, you know, maybe a restaurant or something.
Okay, well, I do feel that, you know, I do see him, I see you two reconnecting. How it's going to happen, I don't exactly know what to say about that, but I do feel that by the fact that you did, can you connect with that person that you gave the phone number 2 years ago again? Are you able, do you have contact?
Yeah, well, he owned a restaurant and now he sold it, so I don't really know what he's doing right now.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, stranger than fiction as it may be, it's amazing how things happen. And when you're thinking about someone more intensely after all these years, I just see that there's a lot. You two have a chance to get it right this time, even though 30
years
has passed.
There's an Irish festival coming about maybe a half hour from me. And this fellow that I gave the phone number to, he's a musician, so I'm sure he'll be playing there.
Oh, and this is coming up. Okay.
Yes, it's coming up in a few weeks.
Okay, yeah, so we're getting more into the... You know, I do see him, if this is a person, like I said, the way he appears, perhaps when he was a little younger, but I do feel that definitely... you know what? Trust your inner voice and your intuition, what's going on. The fact that you're having more stronger thoughts about him, I do see you reconnecting with him. And this time around, I see you being released from self-imprisonment where you could actually move forward in this. You're both able to do so. There's no other persons that are connected with each of you. Do you follow me?
I do. It's kind of interesting. I mean, like, you know, suddenly you start thinking so much of somebody,
There's a reason for that. I always look at it this way. There is a good reason why we do that. It just is because. It's like you hear about the old story, the phone's going to ring at somebody. There's synchronicities, there's signs, everything. And because I see the strong connection, I do see a completion around you too. Even though 30 years later, it doesn't matter. I mean, really, to me, that's not so out of my mind to see this as being the case. It looks very fascinating to me. And you won't have to come back into another life to do this again.
Oh, okay. That's why I said in this life. That's why I made sure it was this lifetime.
Well, anyway, thank you. I hope I helped you, and I wish you well. And I really,
to the festival, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you, Maureen. Great reading. And I have a caller now from Massachusetts. Who's calling? Massachusetts, are you there?
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi, what's your name?
Yes. My name is Karen.
Hello, Karen. How can we help?
Okay. I have a couple questions, but I just wanted to see if she could touch on finances mostly. If she sees that improving soon.
If we see her finances improving soon.
Yeah, or what she sees as far as that goes.
Well, I'm going to look at it for you. I'm doing this reading for you. So let's see.
Oh, okay.
That's no problem. Oh, I can see that it's been tough, and I feel strongly that right now is about making choices. So, with your finances at the moment, there are really different directions that you can take, and that it's important that you make good choices. So you have options about how to manage your finances and what to commit to at this time. So you really need to analyze the different options that are available to you and make good decisions. I do feel that this period of tough finances is drawing to a close, but I also feel that everything our guest Shannon was saying about letting go of what no longer serves us is really relevant to you right now. So you're moving out of this really tough period, but at the same time, as you move forward, the energies unfold more abundantly for you if you really let go of what you don't need. So I feel strongly that as you make your choices about finances and your income stream, you need to decide what your priorities are, what your values are, and cut back or let go of things that you don't require. And I feel if you take this approach and you make good decisions, then it really does improve for you. I feel that there are good opportunities moving forward. I'm drawn to the month of April, so I feel that it's not going to sort itself out overnight, but I feel by April of next year, your finances will be in better shape and you'll have good luck. I also feel actually that there's a gentleman that will help you next year. I don't feel that you'll be in a situation in which you need somebody's help, because I know that you can work your way through the situation. But I feel that there's a gentleman that does help you next year, and that is, even if that's just that he's able to offer you the opportunity to go out for dinner or to enjoy life rather than having to spend money yourself. But I feel that things will certainly improve, and by April you'll be in better shape.
Okay, so a gentleman, do you mean as far as like a partner?
It doesn't matter. I'm not sure whether he's a partner or a friend, but I know that there's a gentleman who is able to help you a little next year, and I know that certainly you will you'll have some nice times with that gentleman. So at the least, he's going to be a friend to you. And I feel that it is time that you allow yourself to receive and accept some gifts and some support from other people rather than trying to manage everything yourself.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Wish you lots of luck.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You're welcome. Take care. Okay. Now, just a reminder to all of you, if you aren't able to get through, whether it's this evening or another day, or if we can't cover everything you wanted to cover, because we only take 5 minutes per person, and then remember that you can find each of us at psychicaccess.com. We're more than happy to help you. Let's have a look. Let's see if we have somebody calling in. Oh, Carmen, I feel, is it you, Carmen, that has a caller now from Pennsylvania?
I believe so. Hi, Pennsylvania. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Hi, what's your name?
Penny.
Hi, Penny, nice to meet you. How apt. So what can I do for you?
I had a decision this week on my divorce, which has taken almost 6 years, and I was just wondering if I should take the deal or fight for more.
And you got children?
They are mature. They're grown. They're out on their own, so it's none of that's involved.
One of the things I have to point out to you is that on our psychic show, we try not to give away legal advice, especially for something so important. So I'm going to try and get you a vague answer, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm going to try and see what I get for you in terms of your outcome. And let me have a look here. You know, it's asking you to... It's not asking, it's saying here you've been waiting for some time. And yeah. It's possible that this person, being this your ex-husband or your lawyer, their lawyer, keep trying to undermine you. And to some extent that may be, and you may agree or disagree with me, is that this is really keeping you suspended. I don't see a grave, possibly financial loss. Yet, again, I want to kind of pepper this with what the reality is of the amount of money that you may be looking into. It may not be as much for you. Maybe is it just principle for you?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is it principle or money for you? Because it does say here, you don't seem to lose, so you may be able to take it. And I want you to use your good common sense. I know you are.
I mean... Right. I was awarded 10 years of alimony, which is like almost unheard of.
Yeah. Then take it.
Because of all of his shenanigans and antics.
So it says here you have waited for quite some time. You have been in suspension for quite some time. And it said, and there was a person who was being underhanded with you. And it says here, for the most part, there may be one more visit or one more trip. Are you up for that? And that would be one of the things you want to factor in or out. I would feel like the reading is not discouraging you. It's probably leaning towards more of a positive side. And goodness, if it's been that much of your life, you're well deserving of that. If, you know, if not more of the time that you've gone through. So best to you. And I hope with that he actually... that you're left in peace.
I know. I mean, there's no amount, I mean, besides the abuse I dealt with in the marriage and the last 6 years dealing with this, nothing's going to bring that back. I understand that. I was just wondering, is this the best deal that I'm going to get, or is it worth fighting?
Let me see.
You know, and even with I'm going to have to still deal with him for 10 years for an alimony payment.
Right. It says here, best that they can do within the light legal time limit. And that would be probably that if in a perfect world you'd have 20 years to claim something, maybe that would be, but it says here within the legal limit. So I want you to just remember that this is probably going to be fine. But it says here, you know, you fight a little bit more and you end up losing more time and not getting that much more money. But, you know, you have to, if you're questioning this at all, then you have to probably investigate and go a bit further. That's my feeling on this. So unfortunately, right. Our time is up, and thank you for calling. And if you need to contact me, you know, call again. I'm on Psychic Access under Carmen Miro.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
thank
good
you.
Luck. Yeah, I think you should probably, but I don't want to take it on a five-minute reading, please.
No, absolutely.
It's too important,
absolutely.
You know. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, Carmen. Always challenging when things get legal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not a lawyer, so I would love to be able to comment in full if I had the training.
Yeah.
But I don't.
You handled it really well, really well. It was a lovely reading. Well, Stephen, you have a caller from New York now.
Thank you, Steve. Hello. Who am I speaking with in New York?
Hello, my name's Hallie. I've called a few times, and first, I know you guys don't have a lot of time, but I want to give you guys positive feedback because I've been documenting your predictions, and so far, everything's been accurate. I just wanted to give some positive feedback first. Brenda had made a prediction in regards to a motivation for some documents getting fabricated, and in the past 6 months, evidence has been gathered to prove that motive. She predicted it about a year ago. And I always write down the predictions, and I assess them later. So I think you guys deserve some positive feedback. Steven gave me some positive feedback and accurate predictions in regards to law enforcement and a male boss manager as far as seeing his underlying motivation, which did materialize. And Steve made a prediction in regards to a blog I had with legalities, actually, and there was something very hidden as far as me posting a document, which he predicted that it would be causing some kind of infraction. And the issue at hand is I do have a case and a six-year statute of limitation, and the problem is if I posted the document and received lawsuit money, that would be the cause of me being in potential harm for a lawsuit, is disclosing the document, because it would pretty much infract those documents from being able to be used, because in the act of getting compensation, they could consider it trademark infringement. So those were three predictions over the course of the year that you guys were solid, accurate on. So I just first wanted to give you some positive feedback. And I don't really have a specific question. One thing kind of provoked somehow on my way home is to ask, what is it I can do now? Is there something that I need to do or do nothing? Is there any higher guidance coming in as far as attracting a divine heart mate in this lifetime? And by no means am I, like, desperate to meet somebody right away, but I'm getting closer to being whole, and that's the one right. thing that popped up was asking that.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for being part of the Psychic Access community, and thank you very much also for the feedback. It's always gratifying to know when we've managed to help in a very special way. So thank you for that. So let's see, what does she need to know the most about her love life? Let's go with that question and get some important clarity regarding your romantic affairs. Well, for one thing, I'm seeing that the level of enthusiasm that you have for people is an issue. Either you won't have enough for him, or you'll have too much for him, or vice versa. He will have too much for you or not enough for you. So one thing you want to do is, you know, bear in mind, you know, sort of inventory your thoughts about someone that you're interested in dating. You know, gauge your enthusiasm for being in a relationship. If you're shy around people, then that's going to be the heart of the problem right there. So your sociability, your ability to socialize, is also related to your success in romance. Do you see? It doesn't have anything at all to do with material hardships or employment issues. You could be a millionaire-ess or a food stamp recipient. That doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. You're still capable of attracting the power of love into your life. So what you want to do, though, to have more success in romance is cultivate an air of mystery. Perhaps you give too much away to prospective partners. Do you see? It's like I'm fond of giving this analogy because it's a common problem in relationships. We have an urge to spill our guts to the ones that we're interested in, when in fact, think about a movie. And with all of the questions, will the hero survive? All of the questions answered in the first act of the movie. The mystery is gone. We don't continue watching. We watch something else. So cultivate some mystery. Let there be some questions that remain about you when you start meeting someone. He doesn't have to know about everything dealing with your past just yet. Give it some time to unfold. The result is that you'll be much more intense. You'll exude a sensual and romantic intensity that will attract love into your life, okay?
Okay.
All right, wish you well on that, and I appreciate you calling
Thank
in
you.
Tonight, and I hope to see you again over at psychicaccess.com, okay?
Thank you. Good advice. Thank you.
Yes, bye-bye. Ma'am. Best of luck to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. Great reading. Now we have a caller from California for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, California.
Hello.
Hi. May I have your name, please?
My name is Charlotte.
Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte. I'm Maureen, and what can I help you with?
My finances have really been blocked for several months.
Okay.
And I've gotten some input and some insight about why that is, but no real plan of action about how to get them unblocked and move forward.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you ask is, what direction maybe that you can go towards with getting your finances unblocked, because you have all the personal power in order to do that. You know, this is what I'm getting. excuse me. It appears like have you been just recently working towards a new, it looks like a building, there's some new situation going on in work-related or company-related, starting something new. And I do see somebody around you that's a really hard worker. I do see that you've been waiting. You've been working, for good reason, you're waiting for your ship to come in, as it should be. But like you said, there's some blockage going on. I feel that by you getting more proactive involved, I see within the next few weeks, I could be off on my time, but I do see within the next 2 weeks, I do see a sense of justice coming your way as far as your finances, of having them unblocked, as you know, you put it blocked. But I do see you more involved in making that happen. And I see you making a decision. And I do feel that there's something about, there's a legal something surrounding this, and it looks like it may not be favorable. I feel that I do see you getting the justice that is so deserving, and I don't feel that you should, there be any fear. Is there any, I'm also seeing a male around here who is also, how do you say, dependably undependable. He at one time said he could put up, and he usually reflects some money, putting up money or investment, but instead his cash flow is not doing too well, so he'll back away, and he shouldn't be dependent upon. You know, Charlotte, I feel that you're the one that would be the best, or I'm encouraging you to be, you're the one that needs to really put out making this happen, because I don't see any reason why this should be delayed or blocked any further. I honestly do feel around February, it may sound like a long time from now, but by February and March, I see everything being very unblocked. I see things really flowing for you in the financial sense, and also some new ideas, new beginnings to a lot of new ideas. It's very positive. But what I do get is you being more involved instead of allowing other people to, you know, let you know what's going on or not. Do you follow me? I hope. Yes.
Kind of. I was working for myself, and my client base really just like disappeared. And so there's a new possibility on the horizon, and I feel encouraged to take it.
Okay.
And that would mean that I would have to be the one that would instigate this and, you know, make it be known that I'm really, really the person for this position. So
right.
That part of it I'm seeing. And I do sense that I, for now, for whatever reason, it's best for me to put my business on the back burner, mostly because I'm just really burned out. And and I've put a lot of effort into it, and I have not gotten back a very big return. I've gotten back some return, but not as much as the effort that I put out on it. And I'm ready to not give up, but I am ready to put it on the shelf for a while.
Well, you know, I think that's a really, you really know, you have a vision. It's, excuse me, you have a vision that sounds to me very intelligent. But I do see that whatever you're doing, you yourself, you can, I mean, it's like your marketing skills, everything that you do and you put out there is fantastic. But like you were saying something, it's maybe time to put it, you know, step aside. Maybe that's why I'm seeing this, well, February, I think in February, everything is going to be unblocked. I see some fantastic things flowing. And it may be by stepping back for you, it's the best, exactly what you need to do. And by doing so, it'll give you a good, better perspective. I see all good. You will not be disappointed. Definitely not be disappointed, but you being more involved is definitely something that is a win-win. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
You're thriving.
Just really kind of clarity, you know, that I was wanting, because it was like, if I go and work for someone else, I can kind of sit back and get paid for helping them with their business and learning from what they do, because what they're doing, they're really successful at, and it's in the field that I want to go into, and I can show up there every day, help them with what they need help with, and just kind of watch and see, oh, that's how you do that part, rather than pull my hair out and teach myself and have this really steep learning curve. I can just sit back and watch somebody else do it.
I think that's a fantastic idea. You've got, you know what? I'm just validating everything you've already, you know.
Yeah,
definitely.
You are. Thank you.
You're
going to
do. You're doing fine.
I've been chewing my nails for the past 3 days, and I thought, let me just ask somebody else.
But I'm validating. You have it together. You have a good plan, and I do see you will not be disappointed. So thank you so much for calling in. And
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And you can get a hold of us at psychicaccess.com as well.
Okay, and what's your name again, please?
Maureen.
Maureen, thank you very much, Maureen. You have a good
evening.
Thank
you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you, Maureen. That was a really lovely call. Can you hear me, Maureen?
Thank you. I was getting all choked up on that one.
You were getting all choked up. Well, it was a really lovely reading. Really, really nice. And great to get feedback from our caller before as well. Okay. Really great. Okay, well, we've got another caller, and I'll take this one. This is a call from South Carolina. So who's calling?
Tiana.
Sorry, what's your name?
Tiana.
Tiana, that's a beautiful name.
Oh, thank you.
How can I help you, Tiana?
I didn't know I would get through, but because I did, been trying to TTC, and just wanted to get some information on that.
You're trying to get some information about what, sorry?
TTC.
TTC.
Yeah. Blue square, pink square.
What is I don't understand, Tiana. What's TTC? I don't understand the question, to be honest.
Okay. Let me try to reword it a different way.
I don't understand what TTC is.
Expanding family and things like that. I think public is still like that.
Yeah, you need to give me a clear question, to be honest. We've only got a few minutes. So you need to give me a question that's clear.
Okay. With regards to family and expansion, building up, things related to that. Ready?
Okay, your question's not clear to me at all. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read for you and tell you what comes up, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, the question just doesn't. I just don't understand the question. Let me see.
His surviving pregnancy. He was around me. So I wanted to.
Oh, I see. I thought that's what you were asking, but I just wanted to be sure. Okay, so you're asking. Okay, I see. Okay, I understand. Let me just shuffle these cards again then. Let me see what they say for you. Yeah, I mean, I feel that you will be pregnant by February, actually. I don't see obstacles to you having a family or growing your family. I see that there's been some discussion and disagreement about the future, debate about whether to have more children or to grow the family. And I know that recently it was undecided. I know that part of the discussion has been concerns about material matters. You know, if you expand the family, the costs involved in growing the family. I know in the States it's expensive to have kids, especially when they get older and they want to go to college and things like that. So there've been some discussions more specifically about material matters, and it's clear that decisions would have to be made if you expand the family. But I feel that you will expand the family. I feel that it will work out fine. I do feel that finances are going to be a little challenging for the next year or two. But I feel that he'll be on board, and I feel that you'll have conceived before we get to the end of February.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we've been together about 8.5 years. We don't have any children together, and all the marriage and expanding the family. We don't have any children together. He doesn't have any either. So it's kind of fresh and brand new for both of us. It's just, I guess, a lot of pressure on him to carry on carry on his legacy. He's lost a lot of family members who weren't really close to him. So.
Yeah, well, I do feel that you will. I do feel that you'll have kids. As I said, I'm very drawn to February. And a card that just fell out of the deck as I was reshuffling the cards is the Ten of Cups, which is a beautiful card that, it's the wish card. And it has, in the deck I'm using here, it has the picture or the image of a family, two parents and two children. So I feel that
Does
you
that
really
one
can.
Fell out
if
the
you,
deck?
If you. If you want to look more specifically at timing and things like that, then contact me at Psychic Access, because through your progressed astrology, we can really look at timing and calculate very specifically when it could happen.
Okay.
But intuitively, I'm drawn to February. Okay?
Okay, it sounds great. And for clarity, you said a card fell out the deck?
The card that fell out of the deck
one?
As I reshuffled was the Ten of Cups. So have a look online at the Ten of Cups, and look also on. You can look on Google for the image of the Ten of Cups, and it will make sense to you. Okay.
Pretty familiar. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Sorry for that.
You're welcome. Good luck. Good luck to you. Okay. The next caller is from Carmen, and this is a caller from Georgia.
Hi, Georgia. How are you? Hi. Caller from Georgia. How are you? We're just going to wait for them to connect, so we're all used to this. Sometimes our callers take a while to come through. 3, 2, 1, Georgia. Oh, it seems that we are still connecting.
Or that we've lost the call from Georgia, maybe.
In about 10 seconds, we'll know. And otherwise...
Doug's checking for us right now to see if we've lost that call. So let's just see, before we move on, let's just see if we can get this caller from Georgia to come through.
Otherwise, we've had a very productive evening, and it's definitely, we're still trying to connect here.
Let's see, Doug is working on it as we speak.
So
you just speak.
Too bad we can't use astrology to fix technical glitches, right?
Oh, astrology.
Are we going into a retrograde soon, guys?
Oh, never. We're never. Who? Those
I
are just,
really hate those.
Everybody loves utilizing those. I don't know.
It's always a good excuse, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry, I was late with that check. Oh,
hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. It's Mercury retrograde.
Retrograde. That's right. It doesn't even have to be the checks in the mail anymore. It's retrograde.
Yeah. The check was checked retrograde. Retrograde payment. Well, Doug's saying that there's an issue. We can't get the next caller through. So we're going to have to ask you to call back next week, because you know we're here every week on Thursdays at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
I'll be waiting, Georgia.
Yeah, Carmen will be waiting for you, Georgia. Just call us back next week. And in the meantime, any of you that have been trying to get through during the show, you know that you can find us at psychicaccess.com. And we would love you to be here again next week. I want to, again, thank Shannon Kring-Bouzet for the wonderful interview. It's been a lot of fun. And to thank all of you guys for being here with us. Now, who's hosting the show next week?
That would be myself.
What have you got planned for us, Stephen?
Well, next week we're going to have on Alan Anderson, who runs the Angel Animal Network. He wrote a book about his pet dog named Leaf, and we're going to talk about the psychic capabilities of pets and how they relate to their humans. And we're going to look at how your pet can lengthen your lifespan and help you improve your performance in the business world and in your job, etc. So that's what we've got planned for next week.
Sounds good.
But they can
Sounds
lengthen really your lifespan. I need to get one.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I've got six cats. Awesome. I'm going to be here till I'm 200.
We should all be so lucky that you do, Steve.
I collect cats, or they collect me. I've never gone looking. Never gone looking for a cat. They just come to me. I'm like cat magnet. Well, I want to just say I'm looking forward to that show, Stephen, and I hope everybody out there has a wonderful weekend. So good night from me. I'm going to hand over to you guys to say your goodbyes.
Bless your heart. Goodbye.
Night,
have a great week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.